Hi, I'm Chris Lee with the Kessinger Lee Financial Group. When you're looking to build a financial legacy after years of hard work, you need a financial partner that will do more than just buy and sell stocks and bonds. At the Kessinger Lee Financial Group of Hilliard Lyons, we build comprehensive wealth management plans for our clients. Whether you need to save for your child's education or build and preserve wealth for retirement, we help our clients with all aspects of their financial lives. Visit us today online at KessingerLeeGroup.com or call us at 859-219-4260 to talk with our team of experienced consultants. Let us help you move forward with financial confidence at the Kessinger Lee Group.
Securities offered by J.J.B. Hilliard, W.L. Lyons, LLC, member NYSE, FINRA, and SIPC.
The following program is sponsored by Horn Marketing and Consulting.
It's time now for Sports Talk, and here's your Sports Talk host, Greg Horn, here on AM 1250 WLRT.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk. Greg Horn, Action Jack Reams here with you on a beautiful Thursday in Central Kentucky. And March Madness is here. We want to thank McGee's Bakery Fan, our sponsor of the day, celebrating over 60 years in business. Obviously a great place to start your day. Also a good place to have lunch. Go see McGee's Bakery on the corner of South Ashland Avenue and Main Street. Tell them we sent you from 1250 Sports Talk. In our second segment, we'll be talking with UK Sports and WKYT's and SEC Network's Christy Thomas. And then our last segment today, we're going to be talking to author Jarrett Van Meter, as he's got a new book out about the Sweet 16 in the state of Kentucky, the great basketball tournament of high school basketball here in Kentucky. And it's called How Sweet It Is. So we'll be talking to him in our last segment. But Action Jackson Marines, it is March Madness, and Kansas is trying to hold on for its dear life right now.
Yeah, number one. Kansas on the ropes right now. Greg, I believe this game is on ESPN2, maybe. 80-80 tie with TCU, 45 seconds left, and it's TCU ball. So TCU has a chance. Their head coach, of course, is Jamie Dixon, who used to be at Pittsburgh. He knows how to win big games, and now his TCU team is going to try to upset this Kansas team, who is without star freshman Josh Jackson today, and it looks like TCU is really taking advantage of that.
Well, of course, the Kentucky Wildcats kick off their SEC tournament March Madness play tomorrow at 1 p.m. on the SEC Network. And Kentucky finally found out who they're going to play today as Georgia and Tennessee tipped it off. And it's probably the team that we didn't want to face again, Jackson Reams.
Well, if there were two teams in this tournament that I didn't want to face as a Kentucky fan, it would be Vanderbilt and Georgia. I understand people probably talking about Florida just because they beat Kentucky pretty handily the first time. But I think that the two teams that will give Kentucky the biggest fits are Vanderbilt and Georgia. And Georgia goes on to win a 59-57 game over Tennessee today. And it will set up the third matchup now between Kentucky and Georgia tomorrow at 1 p.m. Of course, the first two times between these two teams, it was very close. Kentucky had to come back and win in overtime in Rupp Arena, 90-81. And then they won 82-77 in Athens against Georgia. J.J. Frazier has averaged 31 points against the Cats and has shot 44% against Kentucky. And the Bulldogs as a team have shot better than 40% both times they played Kentucky this year. And so I think as a Kentucky fan, it's a game you have to worry about, is that one between the Wildcats and the Bulldogs tomorrow.
Well, J.J. Frazier obviously is good, having Yante Maiden back, their big man who got injured early in that second game when they played down in Athens, Georgia. He was back and looked pretty good for his first game back.
He had a pretty good game coming off the bench, 12 points, 5 rebounds, and 2 blocks. You could really tell he wasn't 100%, but he may very well do enough to help the Georgia Bulldogs tomorrow against Kentucky. He went on to, the first game against Kentucky, he had 22 points. So he definitely had a pretty good day before getting injured the second time against the Wildcats. And so that's going to be someone to watch. J.J. Frazier obviously is someone to watch. And then just where this Kentucky team is. You know, they've been working on defense. They've been making strides forward. They're on an 8-game winning streak. And It's a big question for them to answer to see if they can deal with a team that they had struggles with the first two times they played them and be able to advance onto the semifinals on Saturday.
All right. Well, Kentucky right now, the boys out in Las Vegas saying they're a 9.5-point favorite. And obviously Big Blue Nation will be there in full force as Nashville just a short drive away. Only disappointing part was the Jackson Rams, you couldn't get in the arena.
I am a little upset that I won't be down there unless anyone knows about some tickets, which if you do, you can give me a call right now on 859-873-8096. That's our station line if you would like to call me and tell me about some tickets. But otherwise, I will be watching from home just like everybody else. Want to give a quick update here. We are entering 10 seconds left, tied at 82 between TCU and Kansas, TCU ball. So if I can keep talking for about five more seconds, I'm going to be able to tell you what happens. TCU gets a shot blocked in the corner at the buzzer, and they call a foul on Kansas. So TCU will get three shots with 2.5 seconds left, possibly to win this game and beat the number one team in the country.
Wow. March Madness at its best, baby. Speaking of March Madness at its best, how about that comeback by Missouri last night?
Look, I wasn't expecting to watch the first night of the SEC tournament, and I didn't expect many people to be there to watch that first night, but it looked like they had pretty good attendance last night. Mississippi State blew out LSU, which everyone kind of expected, and then the one that was really fun to watch was Missouri and Auburn. Missouri needed a 14-4 run in the last couple of minutes to force overtime. They hit a three-pointer right before the buzzer went off to force that OT, and then won on a buzzer beater in overtime. That Kevin Puryear guy hit the three-pointer for Missouri at the top of the key, and they were able to extend the coaching career of Coach Kim Anderson, who played at Missouri, unfortunately hasn't been able to succeed, but at least gets one more game. He'll get to face off tonight against an Ole Miss team that his team played real close, losing by 4 at home to Ole Miss and losing by 3 on the road. They very well could sneak into the quarterfinals.
Well, it was just amazing to see Kim Anderson, the coach, who's already been told he'll be relieved of his duty as soon as Missouri season's over, which whenever they lose in the SEC tournament, unless they somehow made a miraculous run and won the SEC tournament, he will be done. And so just to see, man, when his excitement when he hit that shot and they got to go and live for another day. It was kind of cool. Makes March Madness special. Alabama just thrashing Mississippi State right now, 70-45. And Mississippi State, you know, they had some decent games this year and thought they might possibly slide in there. But Alabama trying to see if maybe they can get in that NCAA tournament, saying, no, Bulldogs and Ben Howland, you are done. So 70-45, that lead on that. Then later tonight, you'll have Texas A&M and Vanderbilt. And then Missouri, we talked about, in number 6 seed in the SEC tournament, Ole Miss, playing the nightcap. But earlier this afternoon, man, probably the best quarterfinal game in all of March Madness here was conference tournaments. Number 14, Duke versus number 10, U of L.
It was a great game between those two teams. It looked like Louisville was going to be able to run away with it. In the second half, they had stretched it out, I believe, to about a 10-point lead. And Duke came all the way back and was able to end up winning that game 81-77. Like you said, there's not many conferences out there where you have two top 10 teams playing in a quarterfinal game, but the ACC was able to get that matchup, and it was a lot of fun to watch earlier. As a Kentucky fan, it was hard who you wanted to win there. I mean, for Louisville, they had beaten the Cats, so you had hoped that they had win, but at the same time, with that loss, maybe they'll drop to a 3 seed, and then with Duke, I just don't like Duke, so I'd rather them lose all of their games. Kansas just missed a three-pointer at the buzzer and loses 85-82 in the quarterfinals of the Big 12 tournament to TCU, who was 19-14 on the year.
Well, I'm sure Kansas fans would like to thank Josh Jackson for getting suspended for that game, as you talked about earlier, because he is a difference maker. Don't think that happens with him in the lineup, but they do take the loss. And then other Big 12 action last night, it was an ugly first half for the Texas Longhorns, but man, a totally different team in the second half, Jackson Rings.
Well, this was a game I actually watched, which, again, just like the SEC tournament, I wasn't expecting to do so. Now, I only watched the first half of the Texas game, so I missed the whole big dramatic comeback in the second half. But at halftime, Texas Tech was leading 26-20 and had led by as many as 12 points. At one point, Texas was 1 of 16 from the three-point line, which, by the way, all of those threes were one of the reasons I stopped watching, because they were driving me insane shooting all those three-pointers, but used a 30-10 run in the second half and a 16-2 run in the last 6 minutes to get the win for Shaka Smart and his assistant coach, your brother, Darren Horn, and a big-time win for a Texas team that had a really tough season so far this year. Really impressive for them to go out there and win a game when no one expected them to, A, and when, B, their season's likely over after they get done with this Big 12 tournament.
There's no doubt it's over. I mean, they were 10-21 going into this game. Now 11-21, so you get to match up with Bobby Huggins, number 11, West Virginia. The good news is, the old man, it's only a 7 p.m. game on ESPNU. So unlike you, I did watch the second half. They didn't make many more threes, but the interesting part, they had a fifth-year transfer from Arkansas Little Rock. They hit the key three that kind of was the backbreaker against Texas Tech last night. Well, this young man played for Texas Tech coach, and I can't think of this guy's name, but he got the job this year. It's his first year. He was the Arkansas Little Rock coach where this guy transferred from last year. So he had to say, "Coach, sorry about that."
Yeah, that's a really interesting twist there in the mix. Now, we unfortunately thought that Texas was going to be in that Kansas game. Like you said, they'll get number 11 West Virginia instead at 7 p.m. on ESPNU. They played them decently close, though, in Austin, 74-72, before losing in Morgantown, 77-62.
All right, so as we get back, we're going to talk with Christy Thomas. Get her thoughts on the SEC tournament. We'll be right back after this short break on Sports Talk on AM 1250 WLRT.
Flowers are the perfect present for any special occasion. Birthdays, anniversaries, celebrations of life. Creations by Karen wants to help you find the most beautiful bouquets and flower arrangements. Pick up your own at Creations by Karen's convenient location in Zandale Shopping Center off of Nicholasville Road. You could also call 859-277-6166 or check them out online at creationsbykaren.net. Make sure next time you let Creations by Karen help you pick out the perfect present to make a lasting memory.
Each show, we like to take a minute to thank one of our long-term sponsors, Asbury University. Did you know that with graduation rates 2 to 5 times higher than public universities in Kentucky and retention rates better than any school in the regional college rankings, that Asbury was named the number one college in the South in 2015 by U.S. News and World Report and has been in the top 5 every year since 2012? If a nationally ranked private education at an affordable price interests you or your student at home, email Asbury at admissions@asbury.edu.
Hi, I'm Greg Horn with Sports Talk. Are you a basketball junkie like I am and looking for a great place to watch college basketball? Look no further. Shamrock's Bar and Grill is the place to be to enjoy great food, and they've got lots of TVs to help you watch your favorite college basketball and NBA team. Locally owned, Shamrock's Bar and Grill has 2 locations, on Patchen Drive and in the Heartland Shopping Center. Hope to see you soon at Shamrock's Bar and Grill.
Nice shot, Jim.
Hey, thanks. You know, it's great to be out here and not at the shop.
Yeah, must be all that action coach business coaching.
Well, laugh if you want, but our revenues are up, and I'm working smarter on each of the 6 steps to a better business instead of harder, like some people I know.
I don't know what action coach can tell me about my business. We had a record year last year.
Hey, look, every great athlete has a coach, even the world's best golfer, who had a record year last year, too.
Good point.
Now, listen, I've learned more about business in the last 3 months from my action coach than I ever have. I've also learned something else.
Yeah, what's that?
The best tee times are during the middle of the week.
Your local action coach in Central Kentucky is Andrew Van Horn. Contact Andrew at 859-940-5517. That's Andrew Van Horn at 859-940-5517. You deserve to have your own coach, too. Call Action Coach Andrew Van Horn today. Do you dread going to the dentist? I did until I found Beaumont Family Dentistry. With three convenient locations in Hamburg, Leestown Road, and the Beaumont area, they can take care of all your dental needs at Beaumont Family Dentistry. This month, if you schedule your new patient cleaning appointment, you will receive a free take-home whitening kit at your initial visit. So call Beaumont Family Dentistry today at 223-2120 or check them out online at BeaumontFamilyDentistry.com.
And now back to Sports Talk with Greg Horn on AM 1250 WLRT.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. Greg Horn, Action Jackson Reams here with you. Trying to get hold of Christy Thomas. Not able to reach her right this moment, but I'm sure she'll check back you in with us. So we'll keep trying her. But March Madness is up on us, and we just talked about lots of upsets already. I say not lots, but just great basketball games. But the biggest upset so far, number one ranked Kansas, Jackson Reams, they are going home for the first time that they have not made the semifinals in the Big 12 since 2009, and that tournament is in Kansas City, so a lot of those hotels and those sports bars and all those other places, restaurants, not too happy probably about that.
Well, in case you just joined us here in the second segment, number one, Kansas has fallen to TCU 85-82. It looked like TCU was going to have an easy time of it. Then Kansas pulled back in. You thought maybe Kansas would have another one of their miraculous comebacks, but TCU secures the victory. And I think that the city of Kansas City is probably very upset right now about their number one moneymaker getting knocked out in the quarterfinals of the Big 12 tournament. I think the Big 12 is probably upset because, yes, I still think Kansas will be a one seed, but I no longer think they will be the number one overall seed. And I think as long as they had won their tournament, that was pretty much going to be a foregone conclusion. Now my biggest question is, who is going to be that number one overall seed? A lot of people say they like North Carolina if Carolina wins the ACC. I think Villanova should still get a shot at it. So if you were picking as the committee, Greg, who would you go with?
I'll tell you, North Carolina looked good today. I just saw bits and pieces of it, but they smacked Miami, who has a pretty good team, by 25 points today, 78-53 at the Barclays Center up there in Brooklyn. So I kind of think North Carolina is probably going to get that one seed. So we'll see, even though Villanova did put a thrashing on St. John's today, 108-67. Of course, last night, St. John's coach Chris Mullin, the former NBA superstar and Hall of Famer, he and John Thompson III almost got in fisticuffs.
Yeah, I guess I saw this was not my own pun here, but I did see someone said that I guess St. John's fighting was ended last night, and that was all the fighting that they did, because obviously against Villanova, they went out there and laid an egg today. But there was that off-the-court incident there with John Thompson III and Patrick Ewing's son, I guess Patrick Ewing Jr., and then the St. John's coach. Now, this is something over my head and I guess before my time, but Chris Mullin said that he was asking Patrick Ewing Jr. if he was going to beat up Chris Mullin just like his dad did. That means nothing to me. Does that mean anything to you?
Oh, yeah, well, it was just he gave him a nice little elbow in the chops there back in the, I think it might have been the Final Four, possibly here in Lexington, if I'm not mistaken. So just kind of going down memory lane, and what was Patrick Ewing Jr.'s response about, no, man, I got nothing but love for you or something?
I didn't hear anything about what Patrick Ewing Jr. said, but I do know at the end of the night, St. John's won, so they made a bigger point there, and could that possibly finally spell the end of John Thompson III at Georgetown? He's been there a long time, and I think underachieved for a really long time as well.
I totally agree, man. I've heard he's a really nice guy, and yet he has had more than enough time there, and they've really just not got a lot done, to be honest. So going out that early to St. John's team, be interesting to see. I don't know what kind of buyout he's got, but who knows.
And then there is some other information, some other news that is not related to college basketball and March Madness. There's some football news, some NFL stuff has been going on, and we've got to start with the fact that yesterday I told you it sounded like Tony Romo was going to be released. You told me, why can't they just trade the guy? Well, it sounds like, Greg, they were listening to 1250 Sports Talk. Jerry Jones heard you, and now it sounds like Tony Romo is going to be traded rather than released by your Dallas Cowboys.
Well, JJ, I know, I call Jerry Jones JJ since we're tight.
Oh, right.
Like that.
You're boys.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. So since I went to my first game this year, and, to say, come on, Jerry, man, get us something in return for Tony Romo. A lot of teams looking for a good quarterback. So Jerry said, let me sleep on it, and it looks like he woke up on the right side of the bed, and maybe we'll get a little something for him.
Well, it sounds like the Broncos and the Texans are the two biggest, most interested teams, I guess. The Texans actually made a move today just to show how interested they are. Brock Osweiler, who they had signed last year from the Broncos in a huge deal that no one understood why they threw that much money at him, has been traded to the Cleveland Browns in order to dump about, I think they said about $15 to $16 million worth of salary space for the Texans. That would enable them to probably trade for Tony Romo and not have $30 million wrapped up in quarterbacks, which is what would have happened if they had signed Romo right now. And then the Broncos are reportedly still weighing whether or not they want to get rid of Trevor Siemian, who is the quarterback who started for them last year. And I guess he would go as a backup to the Cowboys if he was traded in a deal for Tony Romo. Now it's just the big saga of where is Romo going to end up? And as a Cowboys fan, you seem very nonchalant about this entire thing, Greg.
Yeah, I mean, until it happens, man, I mean, Romo's going to be gone, and I just thought anything they can get, I mean, teams know that, he's not going to be there, so I don't know that they can get a lot, but if they could just get anything, a third, fourth-round draft pick, I'd be thrilled. I think the even more interesting part is Cleveland is not even committed to keeping Osweiler.
Yeah, I heard Cleveland is probably going to be buying him out, according to Adam Schefter. They've spent a lot of money already so far on this open market because they have the most salary space in the entire NFL. They may have a lot of calories, too. I don't know. But they have a lot of salary cap space. They signed Kenny Britt from the L.A. Rams. They stole Kevin Zeitler from the Cincinnati Bengals and made him the richest offensive guard in NFL history based on his deal. 5 years, $60 million with $31.5 million guaranteed in that deal. And then let's not forget that my Bengals have some stuff going on because not only did Kevin Zeitler walk away, but their other starting offensive guard, I believe, Andrew Whitworth, has now left to go to the L.A. Rams on a 3-year, $30 million deal. So the Bengals' offensive line was trash all year already, and now add in the fact that two of their starters, probably their two best starters, have walked away in the offseason, and I throw my hands up in exhaustion, not understanding what in the world Mike Brown is doing. He brought back wide receiver Brandon LaFell and cornerback Dre Kirkpatrick. Congratulations. But what are you doing when your offensive line was already trashed this season?
Yeah, I mean, the Bengals are my AFC team, man, so I feel your pain. And, of course, we already were struggling at the wide receiver position after losing a lot of guys last year. So, quarterback, I just feel sorry for him. What's their Andy Dalton?
Yes.
Holy moly, man. He's just like, I'm losing my O-line and wide receivers last year. I mean, it's going to be a long offseason for him.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be another questionable season for the Bengals. So I'm anxiously awaiting next season to see what happens. Maybe the year they finally push Marvin Lewis out, but I won't be holding my breath for that. Some other deals that caught eyes of big-name superstars. The Philadelphia Eagles have made some moves today. They added Alshon Jeffrey, the former South Carolina star and the Bears' best wide receiver. They also added another wide receiver today, but I can't remember who it was. It was someone mediocre, so it really doesn't matter. But the Eagles making some moves to try to catch your Cowboys. The Giants also made a move to try to catch your Cowboys, adding Brandon Marshall from the New York Jets. The wide receiver will be there. And something interesting, Jay Cutler, the former Vanderbilt quarterback who has had quite the bumpy time there in Chicago, has been released by the Bears. They will sign Mike Glennon, who was the backup in Tampa Bay. And it sounds like Cutler most likely now to go to the New York Jets, and they have found themselves another subpar quarterback to pilot their team.
Exactly. I'm like, get rid of Jay Cutler for the Mike Glennon? Come on, are you kidding me? Good trivia question for you. Where did Jay Cutler play college football?
I actually just answered that question. Vanderbilt University.
Did you say Vanderbilt?
I did. Oh, but the only reason I know that is because I have cousins who are Vanderbilt fans, so that's kind of cheating. But I'm sure they will now switch their NFL viewership from the Bears to the Jets. They surprisingly like the guy, even though no one else does.
All right. Well, we got to take a break. Hopefully, when we get back, we'll have Christy Thomas from the SEC Network, WKYT Sports, and the UK Sports Network. We'll be right back after this short break with Action Jackson Reams and yours truly, Greg Horn, on Sports Talk.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.
BurgerFi, natural and proud of it. Our beef, it's beef. No hormones, no antibiotics, just 100% certified Angus. You know, the way nature intended. We really get cooking with other chef-driven favorites, made from scratch daily, like our crispy fries and double-battered onion rings, hand-cut and served with house-made sauces, fresh farm veggies and gourmet toppings, all with local craft beer and wine. But we don't stop at honest food. We're proud to commit to eco-friendly practices that improve every neighborhood we call home.
BurgerFi, 141 Rojay Drive, right next to Moe's and the Fayette Mall movie theaters.
Hi, I'm Chris Lee with the Kessinger Lee Financial Group. When you're looking to build a financial legacy after years of hard work, you need a financial partner that will do more than just buy and sell stocks and bonds. At the Kessinger Lee Financial Group of Hilliard Lyons, we build comprehensive wealth management plans for our clients. Whether you need to save for your child's education or build and preserve wealth for retirement, we help our clients with all aspects of their financial lives. Visit us today online at KessingerLeeGroup.com or call us at 859-219-4260 to talk with our team of experienced consultants. Let us help you move forward with financial confidence at the Kessinger Lee Group.
Securities offered by J.J.B. Hilliard, W.L. Lyons, LLC member NYSE, FINRA, and SIPC.
And now back to Sports Talk with Greg Horn on AM 1250 WLRT.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. Greg Horn, Action Jackson Reams here with you. I want to thank our sponsor of the day, McGee's Bakery. Last year, they celebrated their 60th anniversary, so this year, they're on year number 61. Obviously, you've been in business that long. You've got great products and great service. Everyone knows McGee's Bakery is the best place in town to start your day. Great breakfast sandwiches, unbelievable pastries, but also they started serving lunch a couple years ago, and a good place to go have lunch, so go check them out for lunch and tell them that we sent you from 1250 Sports Talk. Well, join us on the phone line now is our good friend Christy Thomas, and she must have won so much money on that TCU-Kansas upset that she's on her way to Vegas.
If only. That would be the great thing to be doing, but no, I wish it could be something more, much more exciting, but just work and life.
Yep, that real job kind of gets in the way. And
that's right.
No problem. Understand. Well, obviously March Madness upon us already. TCU upsets Kansas, but kind of want to get your thoughts. You know, who do you cheer for on a game like today, Christy, when you've got Duke playing Louisville in basketball? Who do you go for in that game?
Man, that's like the ultimate dilemma to try to figure out what to do. And I got to be honest with you, in that situation, I'm definitely pulling for Louisville, just pulling for the in-state school to do well. And you never want to see Duke win under any circumstances. So I'm glad my good friend Anthony Combs is not present and on the show tonight, because I might have to give him a little piece of my mind. But I'm of the opinion that, listen, when Kentucky's not playing Louisville, I'm going to pull for Louisville. I want to see the in-state school do well, and for nothing else other than just to say that that they are a Kentucky school.
Yeah, I was with you. I was cheering for Louisville myself today, so disappointing they couldn't hold on to the double-digit lead there in the second
half.
Yeah,
that was unbelievable. I mean, I'm like, you know, look, when you're playing a team like Duke, you know they're dangerous. You know, when you got a double-digit lead, you got to get – you cannot relinquish that. So they were – as I watched the tail end of that and was just thinking, okay, this is – they're doomed here.
Yep, it was a – tough loss for them, but pretty amazing, though, when in a quarterfinal game you've got a number 14 team playing a number 10 team, isn't it?
Oh, no question. I think that says volumes about the ACC and what kind of teams they have right now. So I think that the credit to them and their conference, for sure.
All right. Well, Kentucky finds out who they play tomorrow. Georgia gets by Tennessee in a close one. Of course, Georgia gave Kentucky all they wanted the first two times they played this year.
Listen, I'm going to tell you right now that this is probably going to be the most interesting SEC tournament on the men's side of things that's been out there for a while. And I simply say that just because there have been several teams that Kentucky shouldn't have lost if they did, and several teams that have played Kentucky close that shouldn't have. So when you have all those scenarios lined up in tournament time, when anything can happen at any given time, then, you know, I'm of the opinion this could be one of the most entertaining, from a basketball standpoint, could be one of the most entertaining SEC tournaments that we've seen in a while.
Christy, in years past for Kentucky, it hasn't worked out real well where they win the SEC tournament and go on to win national championships. Most of their national championship teams as of recently have not won the SEC, and that seems to be a trend across the NCAA as well, is that a lot of the teams coming in don't win their conference tournaments before they go on to win the whole thing. So do you feel better if Kentucky wins the SEC tournament, or do you feel a little bit more hopeful for what they can do in the NCAA tournament if they don't win it this year?
Well, I think that you bring up sort of an interesting juxtaposition, right? I mean, like, what do you want? Do you want to win the conference tournament? Do you want to win the NCAA tournament? Or, you know, I mean, obviously in an ideal world, let's win both. Let's go get both. There shouldn't be any reason why, if you're good enough to win your conference tournament, that you can't be right there in the mix in the end. You know, so for fate to sort of step in and play kind of deal you a really nasty hand at some point in that process is seems unfair. But listen, let's walk away from Nashville having a good showing and getting yourself to a championship game. If you don't win it, but we can make a deep run into March, then I think just about every single one of us is going to be okay with that.
All right, let's slide back to the last weekend. Matthew Mitchell and the UK Hoops team, they were playing in the SEC tournament for the ladies, and they had a really nice win on Friday against Alabama. Then came against Saturday against South Carolina, and unfortunately, I believe it was Murray that was out with a concussion or head injury. He couldn't play, so they were shorthanded, but still thought they gave South Carolina a good game.
In my 10 years of covering the SEC tournament with the UK women, I feel like this was the tournament that I felt like there's nothing more that team could have done to try to get themselves to Sunday. They laid it all out on the floor. It was probably, that South Carolina game was probably the grittiest game I've seen that team play all season long. They played with such heart. They played so hard. Nobody quit on any play at any time, even when they were down. They were down 14, and when you're down 14 against, you know, a top five team, that's when things can really go south very, very quickly, and you look up and you're down 25. And historically, that kind of thing has happened to Kentucky, and you know, when they've played South Carolina, but in their two regular season games, they didn't let that happen. So, you know, they were really in a really good situation coming into that game, even though they didn't have Taylor Murray, just because, you know, they had absolutely nothing to lose. And South Carolina was playing out without one of their bigs. So Elena Coates was out with an ankle injury as well. Was dressed and was going to be available, which she ended up getting put in and then got hurt again. But really just unfortunate to be without Taylor Murray, because I can tell you in that Alabama game, that screen that Alabama's big girl set with about 12 seconds to go was pointless. I mean, at that point, the game was decided. You know, now it was a legal screen. It was perfectly legal. There was no foul called. And, I mean, all of that was correct. But it was really just sort of one of those coaching situations that you go, really, did you need to be, you know, pressing at that point in the game when, you know, it was out of hand and you knew your team wasn't going to win. So really such an unfortunate situation for Taylor Murray, because I think had that kid played, you know, that could have certainly been a very, very different situation, because she is a tough guard for anybody in the SEC. I mean, she can absolutely score in so many different ways. So I think Matthew Mitchell left out of there very, very proud of his team, knowing that there wasn't much else they could have done to try to get themselves to Sunday. And to be quite honest, this team is doing nothing but continuing to overachieve. You know, no one knew what to expect coming into the season, and I've talked about this with you guys before, that you know, so many unanswered questions and so many things that were out there about what was this team going to have. And the simple fact that they could absolutely pull something like that off, be a 4 seed in the SEC tournament, have 11 wins, have a 20-win season, when really you're only playing with 7 players, is really something pretty remarkable. So, and honestly, what they did, they got that big win over Mississippi State, but their win Friday really kind of sealed the deal for them to be able to host at Memorial. So, you know, what better situation could you ask for there than to be able to play 4 straight games in Lexington? And if you do that and you win all 4 of them, that gets you to a Final Four. It's pretty remarkable.
Christy, that was actually going to be my question. So it looks like they are set up to host in Memorial for the first 2 games. And then is it pretty much set that they'll be in the same region where the Lexington Regional is going to be as well for Rupp Arena?
That's right. The women really pay attention to location and proximity more so than they do the men. It's, you know, for them, it's all about, you know, selling tickets. They want to be fair, that's for sure. But last year is a good example. They wanted the closest. South Carolina was a 1 seed. The closest regional for them was going to be in Lexington. And in order to keep Kentucky in that Lexington regional, they had to send South Carolina somewhere else. And that's because there are rules in place that prevent a team from being able to play each other more than 4 times before you get to a Final Four. So Kentucky and South Carolina would have met in that regional should they both have been winning, and that was going to be against the rules. So they couldn't have put South Carolina and Kentucky there, so they leave Kentucky, ship South Carolina off, and I can tell you that that did not go over well with the folks in South Carolina and Dawn Staley, but it was all in an effort to keep Kentucky in that Lexington regional so that their home base fans could stay and watch them play. And rightly so, if Kentucky's not in that regional, they do not sell tickets. So, you know, that's really what the NCAA for the women's side of things really focuses on is where can they sell tickets. So it looks like Notre Dame will be that number 1 seed in Kentucky's regional. That makes it nice and close for them as well, too. So they should be able to bring a good fan base. And then this would be the 4th straight year that Kentucky would host at Memorial Coliseum. And they do a great job. Kentucky really puts on a nice NCAA tournament. So that'll be really nice as well, too. So, you know, I mean, there's not much more they could ask for than to have been able to play. And I can tell you, you know, early on when you lose a couple games in that SEC schedule, and yeah, that's really where you're starting to struggle and wondering, can you hang on? And, you know, that's what they're playing for at that point was to get themselves in a good position for the SEC tournament and then to be able to host for the NCAA.
All right, let me ask you to put your Kentucky football hat on now. Just was announced today that Kobe Walker is going to transfer, and he's the 3rd linebacker to transfer this offseason. Is that because the guys in front of them are so good, or what do you think is going on there with that situation?
Yeah, you know, I think that's interesting. I'm not exactly sure. That's one of those where I'll pick the brain of one Freddie Maggard to kind of see what his thoughts are about that. But, you know, yeah, I mean, I think maybe that's part of it is that kids don't want to, depending on what your situation is, you don't want to play behind someone and sit. You know, there are situations where you don't mind to do that. Quarterback, you know, linemen certainly kind of need that year to mature physically and really understand the game. But I think in a position like that, in a real skill position, you know, I think that there's the thought process behind a lot of kids that they should be playing, and if they're not playing, then they're going to go somewhere where they can. So, you know, despite being a part of, you know, an SEC school where, you know, we're one of the best football conferences in the country, and you've got it made here as a student athlete, if you're not going to play on the field, that's not going to translate into minutes, then they're willing to sacrifice a few things and give that up to be able to go play somewhere. So, you know, I have to believe that that's what it is, unless there's some sort of personality conflict that, you know, we don't know about that's happening, you know, which, you know, remains to be seen as well, too, that some of that may start to surface. And but, you know, in the meantime, I think a kid, you know, just wants to be able to go where he knows he's going to play.
Christy, last question for me. What's your biggest storyline or biggest question, you think, for that UK football team as they are about to wrap up spring practice before spring break, and then in April they're going to have their spring game? So what are they trying to accomplish in this short window?
Well, I tell you what I'm most intrigued by is sort of what this quarterback situation looks like. You know, I'm sort of intrigued by, you know, a healthy Drew Barker that's back and, you know, playing well versus, a kid who stepped in and did everything that was asked of him and got your team to a bowl game and you know, played really well in Johnson. So, you know, I find that to be a very, very interesting scenario where you go, okay, where does this go? Where does this take us? What's going to happen here and with those two? And, you know, could somebody get a leg up in the spring and, you know, kind of what happens there? And I think a lot of things will not be relayed to the media as far as that goes. You know, I think a lot of that will remain behind closed doors and, you know, we'll still have a lot of questions maybe going into fall camp as well too, but that's where I'm sort of, you know, wondering how does that thing shake out whenever we you know, we will watch them play on April 14th, which is a night game. I love that. Everybody needs to get out under the lights and watch a Friday night spring game. That should be awesome. But you know, kind of see how they balance that a little bit and maybe if somebody has a leg up you know, once that concludes going into a off season in the summer, I think that'll be pretty interesting.
Chrissy, great stuff as always. We'll let you go so you enjoy some of this beautiful weather before the March Madness games start again tonight.
Hey, I tell you where I'm headed is it's opening the home opener for the UK softball team.
Nice.
So Rachel Lawson doing an awesome job with the softball team over at University of Kentucky. It's so cheap. If you haven't been to a softball game, get yourself over there. You can go for next to nothing. Tonight's dollar night. You get in for a dollar, and everything's concession stands a dollar. But it's an awesome environment, and women's fast pitch softball is awesome to watch. So get yourself out here and watch a game. But they'll get going here this weekend at home, and then there'll be plenty of opportunities here coming up this spring.
All right. Well, we'll definitely want to be talking to you next week about that. And Rachel Lawson does a great job. So Chrissy, enjoy the game tonight. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Take care. That's Chrissy Thomas, UK Sports Network, SEC Network, WKYT Sports. And, wow, UK baseball doing well with new coach Nick Mangione. And then now Rachel Lawson, the softball team. They're always a powerhouse. So we'll be talking more with Christy this spring about them. We got to take our final break. Stay with us. When we get back, we're going to talk with Jared Van Meter. He's the author of a new book just coming out about the Kentucky High School Boys Sweet 16 basketball tournament called How Sweet It Is. We'll be right back on Sports Talk.
Congratulations to McGee's Bakery celebrating their 60th anniversary. Family owned since 1956, everyone knows that McGee's Bakery is a great place to start your day. However, did you know that McGee's also serves lunch? You can enjoy great sandwiches and homemade soups. Also, for the heartier appetite, enjoy one of McGee's delicious burgers. Schedule your next lunch meeting at McGee's, located on the corner of South Ashland and Main Street. Make sure to tell them you heard about them on 1250 Sports Talk.
Did you know that Asbury University offers scholarships in 17 intercollegiate sports? Asbury is also one of only two private colleges in the state of Kentucky with a nationally accredited music program. And Asbury also has more than 150 student organizations to choose from. If you're interested in participating in college instead of being lost in the crowd, email Asbury at admissions@asbury.edu.
Flowers are the perfect present for any special occasion. Birthdays, anniversaries, celebrations of life. Creations by Karen wants to help you find the most beautiful bouquets and flower arrangements. Pick up your own at Creations by Karen's convenient location in Zandale Shopping Center off of Nicholasville Road. You could also call 859-277-6166 or check them out online at creationsbykaren.net. Make sure next time you let Creations by Karen help you pick out the perfect present to make a lasting memory.
Now back to Sports Talk with Greg Horn on AM 1250 WLRT.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. Greg Horn, Action Jackson Reams here with you on a beautiful Thursday in Central Kentucky. I want to thank our sponsor of the game, McGee's Bakery. McGee's Bakery has been taking care of Lexington's bakery needs for over 60 years. You can find out more about them at McGee'sBakery.com. They're located downtown on the corner of South Ashland and Main Street. I also want to remind you, if you miss any of our Sports Talk shows, you can always catch our podcast. Our podcasts are be found at our website, 1250sportstalk.com, or the best way and easiest way to get those podcasts is to follow us on Facebook or Twitter. And you can find us on Twitter or Facebook simply at 1250 Sports Talk. Well, joining us on the phone line now is author Jared Van Meter. And Jared has written a new book based on the Sweet 16 basketball tournament, Kentucky High School Boys Basketball, called How Sweet It Is. And Jared, I actually saw you last year at the Sweet 16, and hard to believe it. But next week we're going to have another Sweet 16 start, aren't we?
I know, I can't believe it. I can't believe it's already been a year. It's been wild, and I'm glad to see Taylor County's back in it this year. They lost a whole lot of guys from when I saw you last year, but they got a new coach, and they were somehow able to get back, so I'm excited to watch them next week.
Yeah, it is always great to see what teams get there. Always some surprises, always some favorites, but obviously, I know that, you know, it's basically based on the Sweet 16 tournament, but tell people a little more in detail what your book, How Sweet It Is, that's just coming out, what it's about.
Yeah, so kind of the beauty of the Sweet 16 to a lot of people is the fact that all the schools in the state, whether it's a big public school in Louisville or a small private school in some other small town or a Catholic school in the Cincinnati suburb, they're all competing for the same trophy. So I decided to basically follow three teams from as different areas as I could think of, and kind of use the Sweet 16 as a middle ground or the through line for these three schools and three communities that, besides their quest to make it to the Sweet 16, they had little else in common. So I really got within the programs of Covington Catholic, Taylor County, and Clay County, got to know the players, the coaches, parents, the local businesses, you know, the towns that that these kids grow up in. And I really enjoyed it. And, you know, like I said, the three towns couldn't be more different, but they all three share a undying passion for high school basketball.
Well, you're right. Those are very diverse geographical areas, and I know that's one of the reasons why you wanted to cover those three different teams, to give a lot of diversity to the different types of backgrounds that make up the Sweet 16 basketball tournament. And, you know, Kentucky's really unique because it's one of the few places left in the United States that doesn't have their basketball tournament broken down into classes like the high school football.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it's just us and Delaware at this point are the only two states that have one basketball state champion. So, and I'm going to go out on a limb. I don't know this for sure, but I'm going to say that the high school basketball is much more, it's more part of the fabric here than in Delaware, I would guess. But I think those are the only two states left that only crown one state champion.
Wow, I knew it wasn't a lot, but I didn't realize it was even that few, just one other. So, well, I mean, it's exciting to, you know, to hear that, because that's what makes it, I think, so special. And then, of course, with so many of these kids, Jared, I think I would guess it's safe to say, man, it's just got to be a dream to be able to play in Ruff Arena, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And all three teams, you know, the year that I followed them, which was the 2015-2016 season, Taylor County was the only one of the three that was able to make it to Rupp that season. But Clay County and Covington Catholic, they have long histories of playing in Rupp Arena. Covington Catholic won it 2 years before I followed them, and then went to the semifinals the year before I followed them. And the year that they actually won the entire state tournament in 2014, they played Clay County in the first round of the tournament and only beat them by two. So who knows what would have happened if Clay County could have snuck by Covington Catholic that year. But all three of them made it very clear from the beginning that the goal is Rupp Arena. These are three programs that have high expectations, both from the coaches, the players, their parents, and just the communities as a whole. They're the long runs of success have kind of, I guess it's a good thing and a bad thing, double-edged sword, but the expectation is Rupp Arena every year for all three schools.
All right. Well, we're talking with Jared Van Meter. He is the author of a new book called How Sweet It Is. It's one state, one dream, one championship. Talking, he followed three teams, Clay County, Covington Catholic, and Taylor County during the 2015-2016 high school boys basketball season. And, man, those of you that love high school basketball, this would be a great, great book for you to get. Great reading, good to take on spring break, which will be coming up. If somebody wants to get a copy of this book, where do they go, Jarrett?
They can go to the Sports History Foundation website, which is www.sportshistoryfoundation.org, I believe. Or they can. There's an Amazon link coming soon. I don't think that's quite up yet, but as of right now, the Sports History Foundation website is a good way to go. Or if you're planning on going to the Sweet 16 next week, I'll have a table set up at all five sessions from Wednesday to Sunday. So come on by, and I'll be there and be happy to talk high school basketball with anyone for as long as they want, because I'm a big fan, and that's kind of at the root of all this. So, yeah, there'll be a table at the Sweet 16 and the Sports History Foundation website are the two ways to go.
All right. Well, Jared, congratulations on this book. I know it's going to be great. I look forward to getting a copy myself. Maybe I'll run into you next week at the Sweet 16 tournament. And congratulations on your book, How Sweet It Is.
Thanks so much. Tell Quinn hello.
I most certainly will. All right. That is Jared Van Meter. He is the author of a new book called How Sweet It Is. It's a book based on Clay County High School, Covington Catholic, and Taylor County last year. So he got in behind the scenes, locker room, bus rides, practices, and games as they tried to make it to the Sweet 16 last year. Check out the Sports History Foundation website here in Kentucky to get a copy of that. All right, Action Jack Dreams, Kentucky, Georgia, SEC tournament tomorrow. What's going to happen?
Yeah, I forgot. This is kind of like our preview because they're going to play at 1. We don't get to come back on before that game tomorrow. I have Kentucky in this one slightly. I'm going to go with a 90-85 win. Yeah, that's really high, actually. With your facial expressions, I agree. I'm going to go with an 85-80 win. I'm still going high, but not as high. 85-80, I have Kentucky beating Georgia.
I will go 77-72. I'm going to go Kentucky on this one, so as long as they win, doesn't matter really the score tomorrow, right?
Definitely not. Don't forget, anyone out there, you got some games on tonight, Texas A&M Vanderbilt. You have the other game, Missouri Ole Miss, and your brother's team, Texas, will be in action against number 11, West Virginia, ESPNU at 7 p.m.
All right, that's going to be a wrap for Sports Talk. Can't wait to talk about more hoops tomorrow. Have a great evening. We'll see you tomorrow at 5:05 p.m. on Sports Talk.